reading is from Habakkuk, first chapter, verses 1 through 4, chapter 2 and 2 through 4. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous will live by their faith.
It's hard to read the text we have read this fall from the Hebrew Bible week after week after week and not be aware of the horrible reality in which the people of Israel and Judah lived. They were being killed, they were taken from their land, and in that they believed they were being taken away from their God. In Habakkuk, we are given a glimpse into a time somewhere around 600 BCE, 600 years before the birth of Christ, 600 years. The little kingdom of Judah, the kingdom of God's chosen people, had only 13 more years to live. That's it. 13 years that were filled with terror, turmoil, and tragedy. Habakkuk, a prophet of God, was looking for answers to why such violence and evil surrounded the people of Judah. Why were they being killed? Why was their land being taken from them? Why did it feel as if God had deserted them? Habakkuk cries, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. Don't we hear the anguish in Habakkuk's words? The whole small book of Habakkuk, it only has three chapters, is devoted to trying to answer some age-old questions. Why is there evil in the world that we believe is created by a loving, good, caring God? Why did the evil prevail? What have we done to deserve all the evil that comes our way? Why doesn't God do something about it? There are not very many of us sitting here who have not asked one, if not all, of these questions at some time or another. These are the hard mysteries we have with our encounters with the Holy One. These are the questions that hit at the core of our being. These are the questions with which ministers, scholars, laity, children, youth, adults, Christians, and non-Christians struggle. The struggle, making sense out of the violence and evil in the midst of our God-given world, knows no limitations. Struggle happens for all ages, for all cultures, for all ethnic groups, for female and male. Habakkuk, along with other prophets, turns to God for answers and for help. He has looked at the world around him and realized that things are not right and they just don't make sense. Habakkuk cannot explain the turmoil happening to him and around him, so he takes his questions to the one, the source of knowledge, the one who created this world with loving care. He confronts God's. We've heard his cries, and now Habakkuk wants God to answer. Is there any difference between Habakkuk's cries and our own? Do we not cry to God for help? Do we not cry to God that there is violence in the world and to please make it stop? Habakkuk begins his pleas to God by telling God that justice never prevails, without naming all of the violence and court cases in, say, the past 10 years. I believe every one of us can come up with more than a few where we believe that justice did not prevail and judgment was perverted. The families and friends involved must have called to God saying, why? 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 Think of the confusion that occurs when reality does not seem to match what we have been taught is the righteousness and power of God. Habakkuk's people were God's people. They believed they had been faithful. They believed that they called to God that God would save them. God always had before. So Habakkuk waits for God's answer. And God's answer is not quite what Habakkuk was looking for. God just confirms that, yeah, things are bad. And the bad people are still coming to destroy you. The bad people who are much more sinful than the people of Judah, they don't even believe in Judah's God. Habakkuk is shocked. The people have done all that they physically and mentally can do. Habakkuk has turned to God for an end to the pain, the turmoil, the violence. There is nowhere else to turn. How would we feel if we turned to God and cried, "How long must we suffer senseless killings of young and old?" And God said, "Yeah, you're right. That's what is going on, and it's still going to happen." Habakkuk asked again, "God, why are you silent when the wicked swallow those more righteous than they? Nations of people are being destroyed without mercy. Why are you silent, O God?" Why is God silent when innocent people are killed? One of my sorority sisters, Debbie, was murdered when we were in college. She had gone to her 8 a.m. class that morning, and after class, she returned to the house that she rented along with another friend. Debbie, on her way home from class, driving down the highway, passed her roommate, Mary Kay, on the road driving to her class. According to the police, Debbie walked into her home and surprised two men robbing the house. They thought both girls were gone. Debbie walked into the right house, but at the wrong time. She surprised them, and they killed her. They then fled and were found months later. Most of my sorority sisters, including myself, prayed that God would send a lightning bolt down and strike Debbie's killers dead wherever they were. We wanted the wrath of God poured upon them. We couldn't understand how God could stand by and let innocent people be killed. Was our cry any different than Habakkuk's cry? Is this any different than our own personal cries? This past week, our news has been consumed with the grand jury decision regarding the officer who shot Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. The moment that the decision not to indict Darren Wilson was announced, violence seemed to rule the world. Do we have any idea how many cries to God were made leading up to that night, continued that night, and are still being cried? Cries on both sides and everything in between on this horrible situation. Whether you believe Darren Wilson was within his rights or whether you believe that Darren Wilson was outside of his rights, there is still a young man dead. Whether you believe he was a thug or you believe he was an innocent, unarmed young man or not innocent but unarmed, there is still a young man dead. And violence still fills our world. Violence that erupts when judgment is perverted and justice does not prevail, which is true for everyone involved in Ferguson. The Brown family has lost a child. Those that believe Darren Wilson should not have shot Michael Brown are fearful for their own children. Wilson has lost his job. Those that believe that Wilson should have shot Michael Brown are fearful that those who have been beaten down will begin to shoot them too. Both sides are struggling with justice and judgment. There is despair that surrounds the anger, frustration, and hopelessness that comes with feeling as if justice never prevails. Whether we believe it did or did not in this particular case, I do believe that it's time for us to spend time waiting and listening like Habakkuk. Listening to hear what it's like to be a young person of color that's male walking the streets of the United States of America. We also need to spend time listening to what it's like to be a police officer walking the streets of the United States of America. We need to be waiting, watching, and just like Habakkuk, who decided to stand in his watch post or watchtower and wait for God to answer and to explain and to be visible and present with the people, just like Habakkuk, we need to wait. God does answer and says, "Of course something will be done to end the violence, the dying, for there's still a vision for the appointed time." God says that if it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay, but remember the righteous live by faith. This faith is not seeing the lightning bolt come from the heavens and rectify a horrible murder and then saying God has answered. His faith is not seeing the racial division that fills our country, and when a judgment comes down, saying God has answered. No. Faith is waiting in the watchpost, knowing that God is present and that God will intervene at some time. Faith is when we realize that evil is a very real force, and yet we still choose to believe in the power of God, even when God's presence seems so far away, still trusting and knowing and hanging on to God's love and goodness that fills us with hope. The police can arrest and the courts can convict, but violence will continue. We will cry out to God, and God will ask us to wait and watch. Do not despair. The advent of God into this world will happen. As followers of Jesus Christ, the idea of living by faith is not new to us. Paul begins his letter to the Romans with a quote from Habakkuk. For in the gospel, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Paul quotes this obscure prophet from around 600 BCE to talk of the good news of Jesus Christ. Hold on when it appears that the world is out of control and violence surrounds us. Place our hope in God. We are to do everything we can to create a God-filled world, but when it comes to God's intervention, we must also sit in our watchpost and wait. We must wait for the one who brings hope. We must wait for the advent of God. Habakkuk wanted God to act now. God wanted God's people to live loving each other. Habakkuk wanted God to stop sitting around and come sort out all of the violence and all of the isms that we have created. Habakkuk wanted God to make people listen to the heartaches of those who have been oppressed. God wanted the people to sort it out themselves and to listen to each other. Habakkuk winds up standing in his watchtower and praying a prayer to God. He tells God that he knows the end is near. Habakkuk knows that his death, that the death of his nation, God's people, is just around the corner. The people have nothing. In fact, there is starvation now. For the people have no fruit, no food, no animals in their herds. This is it. Literally. All they have left is God. All they have left is their faith. All they can do is wait and watch. Habakkuk offers a prayer to God. O Lord, I've heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. God makes my feet like the feet of the deer and makes me tread upon the heights. Oh my goodness, what hope in the midst of chaos, huh? Or maybe we could say it like this today. Though the life of friends is taken and that life cannot be replaced, though the killing and evil continues and more dangers appear every day, though sometimes we don't see the presence of God around us and we feel there is no vision, yet we will rejoice in the Lord. We will exult in the God of our salvation. God the Lord is our strength. God makes our feet like the feet of a deer and makes us tread upon the heights. As we begin this season of Advent, maybe we should spend some time in our watchtowers, waiting, watching, listening for God. Maybe we should spend more hours in our days waiting and listening for God instead of trying to be God. Maybe as we wait, watch, and hopefully listen, we would begin to open our hearts to those with whom we disagree, or those who are oppressed, or those who think different, look different, act different. All those are also created by God. Maybe this Advent, if we turn our hearts to God, if we hold on to hope, a miracle will happen. How long, O God, how long? In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. O come, Emmanuel. Amen.